Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, no matter where you're listening, around the world, this is Sedona Talk Radio.
Hello. Hello. Welcome to Pandora's Box, Kalia. And today is April 21st, 2015. The topic of our show today, we are in part two from self-loathing to self-loving. And part two is the witness and observer. So we're going to be talking about the witness today. When you're moving from self-loathing to self-loving, it's important to begin really paying attention to what's going on just beneath the surface of your awareness. How are you talking to yourself? What do you do and say to yourself throughout the day? How do you treat yourself? What excuses do you make? How do you allow others to treat you? And how do you treat others? Most people go about their daily life very unconscious about how their actions and behavior are creating their reality. They're on autopilot, not really paying much attention to the choices they're making on a daily basis. And every choice you make today influences the life you have tomorrow. So if you're unhappy with the life you're living today, it would be wise to look at the choices you've been making over the past several years. If you plant a seed in your garden today, you'll not see the full potential of that seed right away. In fact, you won't see anything because the seed is in gestation. It's underground, underneath the surface of the earth. After a week or so, you may notice a tiny sprout coming up through the earth. And as you nurture that sprout, it becomes something beautiful, something that can nourish you in some way, whether it's through beauty or through nutrition. Our choices are like those seeds. We don't always immediately see how the choices we make today will influence the life that we're living in the near future, but because we don't see it doesn't mean it isn't there. If you judge, condemn, and criticize yourself on a daily basis, your life becomes a reflection of that treatment. And as you become aware of the relationship you have with yourself, you can begin to make changes today which will affect who you are tomorrow and what kind of experience you have in your life tomorrow. The witness self is the part of you that observes your thoughts, deeds, and actions from a detached, non-judgmental perspective. Sometimes we're too close to a thing to perceive it accurately. But if you develop the skill of stepping back from whatever drama or situation is unfolding in your life and look at it as if you were observing another person, you can gain insight that you might not have when you're right down in the middle of the experience. I'll often ask a client to tell me what they would tell a friend if he or she was in the same situation as they find themselves in, and the answer always comes from greater wisdom, insight, and understanding. When you observe a situation from the witness self, you're detaching from that situation emotionally and viewing it from a detached, hopefully non-judgmental perspective. That's the idea. When dealing with a situation that's very emotionally charged, it's important to engage the witness and allow that part of you to assist with decision-making. If you're trying to leave a toxic relationship, for example, and your emotions are all wrapped up in that relationship, it'll be difficult for you to think clearly and make healthy decisions. But if you engage the witness self, that aspect of you will be able to see things from a higher perspective. The witness may observe that your partner has cheated on you, lied to you, and consistently made you wrong, and invites you to look at what you are really gaining from staying in that relationship. If you're beating up on yourself, the witness can observe this behavior and show it to you from that higher perspective. You are shaming yourself and calling yourself stupid, for example. The witness self can show you how you're caught up in the drama of a situation. And you may learn how drama had given you a sense of being alive, but not necessarily without great conflict. When you're in the witness self, it's like watching your life as a movie. You can imagine that you're sitting in the cushy theater seats with a big bag of popcorn, watching the movie of your current life drama on the big screen. You know how when you watch a movie, you often have perspectives that are much smarter than the characters in the movie. You might even say out loud or under your breath, "Don't do it." You can see the character is just about ready to make a really big mistake, and you want to warn her or him. But of course you can't, because it's a movie, and it will take its course regardless of your input. However, in your own life, the observer can say, "Don't do it," and maybe the character might hear it. The you who is about to fall for the seduction to return to a toxic relationship is warned that there are hazardous conditions ahead. If you learn to see your life from the perspective of the witness self, you can make healthier choices. I talked earlier about the different parts that make up who we are. We have the inner child, the parent, the judge, the witness, and many other aspects that are all playing out their roles within your psyche. When we can begin to understand that we're not just one of those parts, but the sum of all of our parts, we can begin to work with our inner aspects in a way that brings us closer to self-love. Self-love is really about loving all of our parts unconditionally. The witness can observe the inner child having a temper tantrum as she tries to get your attention. You can observe the child aspect and see that her need for attention is valid, and perhaps you should pay attention. Self-love involves recognizing all aspects of your personality and bringing them all together on the same page, working towards the same goal or intention. When they're all at odds with each other, you experience a great deal of inner conflict. In my experience, all aspects of you are doing the best they can to help you survive. Survival is the goal. They simply go about it in different ways. The judge may condemn you for the way you're doing things because it knows you must be really smart about your choices in order to survive. The child may sabotage a relationship you're in because it wants you to survive and pay attention to what is important. The parent aspect may scold you because it wants you to survive. All aspects are looking out for your survival, but they may have conflicting ideas about how to assure your survival. The witness self will often be your wisest aspect because it's not involved in the personal drama like your other aspects. It's basically presenting the movie from a detached third-person perspective that gives you the opportunity to see what is going on in your life once all that drama and chaos is removed. You get to take a look at the facts. It's important to take note that the witness self is not the judge. It does not judge you or make you wrong. The judge is an entirely different aspect. When we engage the witness self, we're able to look at our behavior without judging it, but rather look at it with compassion. The witness self doesn't say, "You stupid idiot, you should have never done that." The witness self might say, "I can see that when you take this step, when you do this, the result is a lot of pain. So it's an observation. When you do this, you experience that. If you watched your current life story unfold like a movie, what would you say is happening? What would the witness observer aspect of you suggest that you do? If you could remove your emotional attachment to the situation, what would you advise yourself to do? What action would be the smartest action to take? Feelings play an important role in our life, and we do need to pay attention to how we feel and even allow our feelings to guide us in our lives. But we also need to be aware that our feelings are different from our emotions. Emotions are supercharged with our history. Our emotions contain all of our experiences from the time we're born, and all memory of our experiences are stored in our subconscious mind. When you experience emotional overwhelm, you're experiencing a rush or flood of past feelings that are associated with those past memories. Allowing your emotions to make your decisions can have hazardous consequences because you're acting from a place of emotional chaos rather than clarity. For example, if you have a strong abandonment wound and you have a partner that has disconnected from you and perhaps ran off with someone else, you'll likely experience a flood of old feelings surfacing from all those times that you've ever felt abandoned in your life. Your emotional response isn't likely just from this recent experience alone, but an accumulation of experiences that left you feeling abandoned and unwanted. If that person resurfaces and says he or she wants you back, you may act from this festering wound of abandonment and go back in attempt to alleviate the pain and feel wanted and needed again. The witness self will observe the facts, and as you watch the movie, you will begin to say, "Don't do it. Don't go back. He'll just do it again." Which aspect of yourself do you really want to listen to? The emotionally needy aspect or the detached witness self? The witness self can also be placed in the role of the observer of your thoughts. Observing your thoughts can be very important as we embrace the path of self-love. It's difficult to be self-loving when your thoughts are self-sabotaging. When you are constantly thinking about how overweight you are, how ugly you are, how nobody really wants you, how you're a failure, and so on, it's going to be very difficult to feel good about yourself. When I was younger, I became aware of how my thoughts were very self-condemning, and I began to observe them. As I caught myself thinking negative thoughts about myself, I would catch myself in the middle of those thoughts and correct them. And this is before I ever did any kind of core belief work. I succeeded in being a very positive person as a result. I simply learned to see the glass as half full, always looking on the bright side of things and looking for the positive lesson in every situation. It didn't mean I never felt pain. And it didn't mean I never went through difficult times in my life, but I was no longer convincing myself of my own inadequacy. I may still have felt inadequate at times, but my witness self would observe all of my good qualities. I could observe that I was strong and smart and attractive and talented, kind, loving, and cared deeply about people. When we have deeply entrenched core beliefs, we may not initially believe all those nice things we learn to say about ourselves, but speaking kindly to yourself can make a huge impact on your feeling of self-worth. If you find yourself constantly being drawn to situations where people don't treat you well, it's a good indication that it's time to focus on treating yourself well. The law of attraction tells us that we will attract people into our life who mirror to us how we feel about ourselves. So if you don't feel worthy of kindness, and you don't treat yourself with kindness, you may find that those you go the deepest into relationship with don't treat you kindly either. The more you learn to treat yourself with kindness and respect, the more you will notice others treating you with kindness and respect. When you have a loving relationship with yourself and someone doesn't treat you right, you'll most likely remove yourself from the person who doesn't treat you well, and you won't take that person's behavior so personally. Sometimes it seems that we're given opportunity after opportunity to refine our relationship with ourselves. And part of that initiation, if you will, is to learn how to say no to toxic, unhealthy, and uncaring behaviors in others. When we can say no to this kind of behavior in others, we're saying yes to healthier, loving, and caring relationships for ourselves. The witness allows us to see the work of the divine in our lives. The majority of people on the planet do believe in some kind of higher power or God, if you will. But our belief systems are as varied as the people on the planet. There are many ways in which to perceive this higher power, and we are all entitled to our own way of believing and perceiving. However, it's wise to ask yourself if your belief system around a higher power is empowering you or disempowering you. If your perception of God is a judgmental father figure who finds fault with everything you find, you're always on edge trying to please an entity you really feel no direct connection to. If you believe you're but a lowly worm who is unworthy of a direct connection with the divine, how do you feel you will perceive life itself? As children, we often cast our parents in the role of God because, in a sense, they've given us life and seem to have the power to destroy our life as well, if we're not good, if we don't behave. As little children, our parents seem very big, all-knowing, and they wield power over us. We must do what they say or we're subject to punishment. It's easy once we begin to develop a concept of a higher power to transfer our parental belief system to God. Religion has already done this, so it's pretty easy to follow suit. Belief systems teach that God is a judgmental father figure in the sky, and we must work hard to please and get into his good graces so that we're worthy of an afterlife. If we're not worthy, we'll go to this place called hell. It's no wonder so many people feel that they're being punished by God when life itself feels like a living hell. Religion is a deeply personal thing, and nobody has the right to tell us what we should believe. We all must discover this for ourselves. If we don't ever question our beliefs, we may fall subject to what we were taught and simply never question it. My life's been a series of questions. I've asked questions in order to understand how the divine works in my life. And my witness self observes how I react to painful situations in my life. I discovered how I believed I was being punished for some crime I was unaware of, this thing called karma. Karma is the law of cause and effect, where we reap what we sow. And in some belief systems, we come into this life with a karmic debt from past lives that we must pay in this one. And so when painful things happen to us in this lifetime, we believe it must be because we did something horrible in the past. That particular belief system doesn't really work for me either. It doesn't make sense that we're punished for a crime we can't even remember. However, what does make sense for me is that I am a student on this path of life, and each experience, however painful, is an opportunity to learn something powerful about myself. And so spirituality to me becomes an extension of this path back to self that I walk. along the path of life, there are many opportunities to learn how to walk my truth. I feel right that we're born with this amnesia about who we are and what we're capable of. That's pretty evident. We don't remember our divinity. We don't remember where we come from. Most of us don't have parents who are awake and aware enough to teach us that we are beloved children of the divine. And so life brings us one opportunity after the next to discover our divinity, to discover who we are. I have found the process of discovering my divinity to be quite challenging and painful. But this is because I've had to crawl out of the hole of unworthiness that I fell into as a young child. The hole is deep, and the journey back to the divine self involves learning how to find my way out. The witness self can see from the higher perspective that I'm in a hole and trying to get out, but it cannot throw me a rope and pull me out. This would defeat the purpose, which is to learn how to rely upon my own strengths and resources to find my own way out. Since we live in a world of duality, we must experience cold to know hot, darkness to know light, evil to know good, black to know white. So the process of going into darkness in our lives has the power to take us closer to the light. The path back to self is the process of learning how to find your own way to the self that is true and in alignment with your divinity. In religious terms, divinity or Godhead is the state of things that come from a supernatural power or deity, such as God or a supreme being. I like to look at divinity as the life force that is in all living things. When I'm in alignment with this life force, life goes much more smoothly. But when I'm in resistance to this force, life feels like a struggle. Along the path back to self, I learn how to align with divinity or the spirit of life within me, and listen to the still small voice within. The witness self can point out to me how I failed to listen to that inner knowing back there at that juncture, telling me to go right when I went left instead. It might say to me, "Remember when you heard that little voice that said, go right?" And I might say, "Oh yeah, wow, I thought I knew better than divinity. And now look where I am." When we learn to trust the still small voice within, or the voice of divinity, we come to find that there really is a direct connection to the source of our life. And if we could only learn to listen, we will be guided to our highest expression of self. We come to learn that everything that happens in our life is an opportunity to move deeper into truth. A failed relationship may not be a failure at all, but a redirection to live your life from a more deeply fulfilling place. A lost job may be a redirection to step more fully into your purpose. But if you curse the powers that be for your perceived losses in life, you will never be aware of the gains that are waiting for you, and you will miss the opportunities. It is said where one door closes, another opens. When we're in alignment with our higher self, our true self, our divinity, we come to understand that a closed door means a new opportunity, and we learn to pay attention. We are human. We have to learn to embrace our humanness as well as our divinity, the witness self that can bridge the gap between the two. When we are in pain and grief, the witness self can show you, oh, you are experiencing pain and grief, but you are not your pain and you are not your grief. You learn to see your human emotions as part of the experience of life, but you don't have to identify with them. You don't have to build your house on emotionally unstable ground. You can learn to observe your emotions. Allow yourself to feel them, but not get lost in them. I was a master at getting lost in my emotions, and I realized in looking back that the reason I was so deeply entrenched in my emotional pain is because I took things far too personally. I believed my pain was punishment. I believed it was evidence of my unworthiness. I believed there was something seriously wrong with me that some man who was lost in his own maze of misunderstanding didn't value me. As I began to get stronger, life continued to bring me the same kind of experiences, which really didn't fit with my belief system at the time. I believed if I was stronger in myself that life would reward me with nothing but good things, and I would only draw into my life people who loved and valued me. But life is not a punishment and reward system. It's a learning system, and the lessons on my plate was learning to love and value myself. This was really what was up for me. This was what all of these experiences were teaching me, is how to love and value myself. The best way for me to learn and to love and value myself was to learn to say no to those who didn't care about me. Each time I said no to someone who didn't care about me, I said yes to caring about myself. And just when I thought I had that lesson down, I drew yet another person into my life who didn't respect me or care about me. I could have gone deeply into my emotional pain place and hung out there for a very long time, but strangely, I didn't. Something else happened. I detached. I let go. I didn't take it personally. I could see those who were unable to show me love and respect as struggling with their own woundedness. It wasn't personal. I came to realize that a large majority of the population simply weren't there yet. It had nothing to do with me and my worthiness. I had worked very hard in my life to get to where I was, and my witness self and higher self, we're working together now to amplify my lessons, which would ultimately bring me to a place of much greater self-love. It felt like a series of short journeys into these situations in which I was hopeful at first, but lost hope quickly. But losing hope that a particular person was going to be kind and loving, or in a dating situation, a good match for me, didn't mean I lost hope in life. Life was on my side, pulling me forward, pulling me to my highest truth. And I was not meant to get sidetracked into relationships that could not support the path back to self that I was walking. I was now plenty strong to walk alone. I also realized that I never really walked alone. I had my higher self, my witness self, my inner child, and a whole lot of inner company. Being a companion to myself, greatest, most empowering experience of beingness. We often walk through life giving our power away to others and giving others the power to affirm us and validate our worthiness. This choice most often results in pain because when we give our power away to someone else, we not only give that person the power to validate us in a positive way, but also we give them the power to determine our unworthiness, to find fault with us and condemn us. This is why it's so important on our journey back to self to learn how to affirm and validate our own worth and value. When we do give our power away, it seems life has a way of showing us how disempowering it is by bringing people into our lives who find fault with us. The witness self can observe this dynamic and bring to our attention, see how you gave him or her your power and what resulted from it. The witness can help us learn our lessons that bring us closer and closer to our true self by pointing out what is being observed. This is why it's so important to pay attention to the witness. It is more of a detached observer and isn't at all caught up in emotion as our smaller self is. Our smaller self has a limited view. It is not looking at our life situation from the top of the mountain, but rather somewhere in the middle in the trees with a very obstructed view out. The smaller self is not bad or wrong or less than. It is simply hooked into the human dilemma and drama where the witness self is the detached observer. Harnessing the witness self is taught in meditation. As you are taught to observe your breath, observe your thoughts, observe your emotions, but do not take them personally. You observe from the perspective of, there I am, breathing very shallow. There I am thinking about what I should be doing instead of this. There I am feeling like a failure. You learn to see the you that is thinking, feeling, and criticizing is the small self. You can learn to rise above the small self's drama and align more with the witness self, the detached observer, where you can adopt the perspective, this drama is the play my small self is acting in, but it is not who I am. The more I learn and grow, the more I find it easier and easier to detach from the drama that shows up in my life. Someone doesn't like me. Someone is cruel to me. I don't like the way I'm treated in certain situations. It's all drama, and it's not personal. A mentor once told me, people will treat you as they were treated. When we can stop taking the treatment coming from others so personally, we can begin to understand that how people treat you says a whole lot more about them than it does about you. Our witness self can also point out our own dysfunctional behavior to us. From the perspective of the witness, you might see where you yourself are being a jerk or being selfish or being uncaring. We normally have built-in defenses that protect us from seeing our own bad behavior. When we adopt the witness self, we begin to see all things from a higher perspective, not only how others treat us, but also how we treat others. If you have a tendency to overreact from an extremely emotionally sensitive place, you may find that you push people away because they're afraid of setting you off. I've had a lot of clients become aware of their own oversensitive natures. Sensitivity is a great quality which comes with great compassion and empathy if harnessed in a healthy way. But sensitivity can also make one overreactive. One becomes overreactive when taking other people personally, believing what is being said and done is a personal attack on him or her. Learning how not to take things personally is one of the greatest learned skills you can develop. The witness self can help with this. It can help you to rise up to the higher perspective with the understanding that people's behavior towards you really is about them and not you. When you come from the limited perspective and belief that people treat you badly because you are bad or deserving of being treated poorly, you will take great offense to the bad behavior of others. When you adopt the witness perspective that observes from a higher place that someone is treating you badly because he or she is in pain or is unaware, You learn to detach from the behavior of others rather than seeing it as an indication that there's something wrong with you. Coming from the perspective of the witness also helps you detach from relationships that are toxic and unhealthy for you. Developing the understanding that people will most likely treat you as they have been treated, instead of believing that people treat you as you deserve to be treated, you can rise up to a higher place within yourself. If a wounded person is treating you poorly, you can understand that this is not personal, and detach from that person both emotionally and often physically as well. We don't need to stay in relationships where people treat us badly. In fact, it isn't really healthy to do so. The more we learn to love ourselves, the more we learn to surround ourselves with people who treat us well. It is a process of evolution that takes time and a lot of hard work for those who come from a place of shame and unworthiness. We first have to learn to treat ourselves lovingly and forgive ourselves for all of our weaknesses, our fragility, our trespasses against ourselves and others, and our mistakes, especially the ones that we're still paying for. Self-forgiveness comes from the perspective, I am only human. And as a human being, I learn and grow through my mistakes. If I was afraid to make mistakes, I would never venture out into the world and try new things or take a risk in a relationship. Mistakes are how I learn, and each mistake I make makes me wiser. I learn not to make the same mistakes twice, but I will never fully avoid making mistakes. So if I love myself and all of my imperfections and forgive myself my mistakes, I will be so much more kind, loving, and gentle with myself. You can even learn to laugh at your mistakes, although some will take some time to develop humor about. Some mistakes may not be funny at all. But developing humor in observing your smaller self is necessary to lighten the emotional load. So I'd like to take you through an exercise of engaging the witness self so that you can try this out, so you can try this on. So I would like to invite you to close your eyes and to go within yourself. Take a few long, deep breaths in through the nose and out through the mouth. And allow your entire body to relax. Just clear your mind as much as possible and focus only on your breathing. See each breath taking you deeper and deeper into calm, pleasant relaxation. Now imagine that you are sitting in a chair in front of a movie screen. Feel the comfort of the chair you are sitting in and take notice of the size and the shape of the screen in front of you. Now imagine a movie begins to play on the screen. And the movie is playing the most recent emotional drama in your life. You are sitting comfortably in your chair and viewing this drama from the perspective of a detached observer. You witness the events on the screen. And although there may be some emotional rising up in you, you're experiencing this emotion as a result of identifying with the main character in the movie. What do you notice about the life of the main character? What feelings do you have about him or her? What advice do you want to give him or her? What lessons do you feel are there to learn? What direction do you see that character going? Now bring your attention back to the you sitting in the chair and observe the thoughts and feelings you're having right now. Observe the thoughts and feelings without engaging in the drama. Just make a mental note of what you are observing. Be aware of the thoughts going through your mind and the feelings you are having. The more you observe without engaging, the more peaceful and relaxed you can feel. You do not have to engage in the drama. You can simply observe it and remain detached and calm. You're entering the drama-free zone. All drama is out there on the screen, but within your body, you're able to remain calm and relaxed, a detached observer. You can begin practicing this exercise on your own, taking time each day to see your life events from the perspective of the witness self, the observer. Allow that witness self to observe all that is good and beautiful about you, and also view the pain, the trauma, and the drama from a higher perspective, the perspective of the detached observer. And so we will continue from self-loathing to self-loving in the next episode. We're going to go deeper and deeper into this. So if you have any questions, if you have any concerns, if there's any question you have about any of the episodes that you've listened to, if you'd like me to expand on anything, please feel free to contact me. You can either call into the show at 347-826-9626, and you can press number 1 on your keypad to alert me that that you would like to speak to me. That's 347-826-9626. And I will have a little bit of time after each episode to answer questions. Or you can go ahead and send me an email through my website at pathbacktoself.com. And so feel free to send me an email too. And in the heading of that email, be sure to write question for radio show so that I know that this is something that I would be addressing on the radio show. I'm not going to be answering those questions personally by email, but I will be answering them on future episodes or talking about that topic in future episodes. So thank you very much for listening, and I will see you next time. Have a great day.